Hello?
I hear you.
Hi, Morrow.
Hi.
Well, how's it going and what's it look like for the planet?
Well, let me give you a little backdrop first where I'm at, because I've been wanting to tell you this. Especially for you, Coral.
Thank you.
I got a phone call this afternoon. Of course, I had a million things to do, and I had to be somewhere in town, right? So I had to get my car and leave. I get a phone call from Miguel from the crystal shop in Mount Shasta, and he's coming my way. He's like, we're coming to your house. We need to talk to you. And I'm like, well, what do you mean we? And he says, well, I've got a Peruvian elder and a Navajo elder. The Peruvian's a shaman from down there, and the Navajo man is a peyote road man. And this other guy, this activist, is coming. And just before that, Tenchi arrives, a Buddhist guy. I have to say a Buddhist monk. So I got all this stuff going on. We're getting ready to sweat in about a half hour. And the Peruvian shaman's going to pour. And we're all excited people coming in. And I'm here to do your radio show.
Yeah.
Up in Cleveland. So the world. Well, the biggest news is what landed on my plate this morning came from Tim Hermock up at Forest Council, who is an excellent source of information. A new report is showing that the last time we had this much CO2 in the atmosphere, there were no polar ice caps. And there was also a 3-degree rise. So they learned two things from the report. One, that this much carbon, if the Al Gore theory is correct, and I'm just using him because that's a well-known statements where he said that basically carbon, and then heat follows that curve. If that's true, we can expect 3 more degrees for just the carbon we have now if we let this play out. And they always said it's going to lag behind. So, and that's the first thing we learned, is that we can expect 3 more degrees. The second thing is that is enough to melt the polar ice caps.
So 3 degrees a year, 3 degrees consistently hotter everywhere. How does that work?
Well, basically, the temperature of the planet is rising, and this year it has been rising by an average of 3.6 degrees across the globe. The first part of the year was over 5 degrees, and Hansen from NASA told us way back in the early Bush administration that if we were to experience a 3-degree rise, we would be finding ourselves in trouble. Well, last year was a three-degree rise, and this year is 3 degrees over that. So, and Hansen has just made a statement, and it was simple and to the point. He said, it is here, it is now, and it is worse than we thought. There are attempts drilling balls to the wall off of the Pacific coast, from Mexico, below Mexico, through Mexico, the United States, Canada, on up into Alaska. If you look at the radar images at the end of the day of what went on, they are really trying to stop an ice melt going on in the Arctic. They've lost another report that came out, I think I talked to you about privately, but was that they're now measuring the thickness of the ice with a satellite that's been put into space just to do that. It was really important for them. They were getting rough ideas with the other ways of calculating other satellites. Now they have it. They have a satellite just to it, and they were whammied with the fact that they were 50% off on how much ice had melted in thickness. We hear all these measurements about surface area, like Greenland. It went from 33% to 97% surface area melt in just 4 days. That was a big number, but a lot of people thought, oh, the big ice cube melted. They were just talking about what's going on the surface. This is thickness. This is more of a telltale sign of what's going on. And they were 50% off, and that's the experts were 50% off, the polar ice experts. So, again, the same curve, and that is they're always off on the time. They seem to have the fact that the planet is warming, climate change, however they've defined it, they've got that all correct, it seems. We're in a huge transition and an accelerating one. And what they have consistently, you can bet on it wrong, is how fast it was coming. They said 2100, we were going to lose the ice in the Arctic. Right. Then it was 2050, then 2030, 2007, we lost the summer ice. Now they're expecting it this year or next year, but what they're expecting is continuously now, we're going to lose the ice in the Arctic in the summer. So that's what's going on there.
Yeah.
It's all good news for people who see this is the Creator's plan, a way to get a fire under humanity's butt, a way to throw the yoke of what is really doing this to us, the Illuminati, the oppression, the manipulation. Human beings need to wake up and be human beings. And that doesn't involve banking. That doesn't involve insulation and plastic. What it does involve is a reconnect to the Earth and a chance to thrive. And, you know, this is what's going to get us there. And unfortunately, we are going, this generation and the next, are going to pay the price of all the previous generations that came before us for all the things that were disconnected. Because it's come to roost right now. People in the cities, watch out.
Yep. So you feel that people in the cities are headed for a real crash. How about?
I think everybody should be responsible for your own sustainableness. Are you a sustainable person? Can you get your water anywhere you want it, anytime you want it? Can you get your food anytime you need it? Does your poop go back to the earth, or does it go in a pipe somewhere? Everybody is responsible for their own sustainableness. And if you can do it in the city, do it. Show us. Show us how it works. But the cities ain't working. They're destroying everything. In the nearby communities and surrounding areas, from nuclear power plants to just, you know, the car exhaust and the greenhouse gas emissions, all of that is really concentrated around the city, especially the heat.
Yeah. There's a lot of action on the ecological front to make lots of communities in Santa Cruz area and around, such as Eco Villages, and there's several people involved in sustainable consciousness that if they all got together, it would be great to see what would happen then.
Sooner than later, right?
Yeah, immediately. I'm going to be going
people
to...
People need to look this in the eye and get together and discuss it. Forget about your job. Forget about your mortgage, even. What is about to hit us is going to throw society upside down. It's going to throw it up like a carpet into the air.
And I just am at this site. It talks about emergency planning, but... You know, they're talking about how also the nuclear power plants are not what they as safe as they say they are, especially what happened with Fukushima. And
yes, and that movie that came out a while back, if humans were gone, whatever that was, that documentary series, if humans were gone, and they explained that nuclear power plants only have a 45-day supply of fuel. And an ability to cool themselves for only 45 days if there was a catastrophe. And that's times 72 in the United States, each one taking on an area that the size of Chernobyl did. You're talking about 72 Rhode Islands all over the U.S. that would be kill zones. Yeah, that's a huge problem. And again, it's the community, it's the neighborhood around that power plant that is ultimately responsible for keeping the rest of us safe. It's in your backyard, and the people around those power plants need to figure out their own community way of keeping that power plant cool.
Yeah, Diablo Canyon is not too far from here, a couple hundred miles.
And even if the power plant is shut down, the rods are still there, and they're the ones that require that 45-day, according to the U.S. standard.
I'm reading them.
And then we've left out Fukushima Reactor 4, a ticking time bomb, sitting on top of the whole world right now. And, you know, God help us if that falls over. The smallest end of a catastrophe on that would be devastating to the Northern Hemisphere. So we're here. We're here, folks. It's 2012. You know, it's by design. It's intelligent. And I'll tell you how intelligent it is. When you're born, or before you're born, when you're conceived, when your mother's sperm and egg and father's sperm and egg came together, that first cell had the blueprint for every other cell in you. So there's intelligence behind you before you even arrived.
Oh, yeah.
So we're here. We're supposed to work together. We're supposed to connect to this planet and be one living human being.
Not worry about the elections, who's better, Romney or Obama. I mean, either one of them, they better have something on the ball, you know?
It's like, a game I don't even want to play anymore. I don't even want to play their games anymore.
I could care less.
I have good relations with my neighbor. I know where my water is. I know where my food's coming from.
Yeah.
And we pray.
Yeah.
And we pray with as many people as we can. And I think that's enough. People can live with that and can get along. We're going to have to reorganize society urgently, quickly, but it's just like, you know, when there's, you always have that same guy, you know, in an accident standing up. Everybody, remain calm and walk quietly out. Yeah, we're going to need to do it like that.
Oh, yeah, there's evacuation plans for daycare centers, I'm noticing on this site right here.
People should understand that the National Forest is there for them.
Uh-huh.
The State Forest, the National Park, those are all there for you.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to have, that's what you're going to be facing. Either that or you're going to be falling into other people's paranoia and, you know, communities are going to withstand this coming onslaught based on their ability to get along with each other.
Not the predator state that would take over if there's a panic. If there's no kind of conceivable, you know, notion of this, people aren't even going to know what hit them, and they're just going to be, you know, people by now, at least in Santa Cruz, all have this concept that this is reality, that you have to deal with the nature part of the earth, and not just get so involved in the technological. You know, that's not going to save us. If it comes down to just obliteration of the planet, it's got to be more basic ways to cope with what the catastrophe that happens is. And what you started to mention at the beginning of the show was how you were going to have this ceremony. You didn't say the word, but you were saying that you were going to sweat. So could you describe, you know, what that means, and what would that mean to everybody on the planet, even if they didn't go for that? I know that, older ancient people, even 200 years ago, they would use sweat lodges just to get their own sense off their bodies, not to be prey to the game that was out. You know, they had to always be aware of that. So there's very useful ways you can protect yourself just by, you know, getting the scent of your own body.
Right.
Being as pure as possible.
And I imagine the first lodges were people praying to keep warm. So they brought these hot rocks in. And
as basic as that.
And began to talk to them. And they heard that the rocks actually talk when you add water.
Yeah. What do you think happens when they talk? I mean, what would people need to learn about that?
Well, what you need to learn is to listen with your heart, not your ears,
and relate to the rest of the what's.
The stone person is old, and the last time they were hot red like that was when they were born. So we actually bring them back to a childhood memory, and we wake them up. We take these lava stones and we go out and find them, and then we put them into a sweat fire and wake them up. And we pray with them. And we have them come in. And we don't pray to them like they're the supreme being, because the supreme being is everywhere, pervasive of everything.
Right.
And we generally refer as the Great Spirit. But these eons are ancient. They've been around. They've seen man come and go, the different kinds of man come and go. And this generation of man, Homo sapien, knows us well. He's witnessed everything we've done. And they have a way of one rock being able to understand what another rock knows on the other side of the world. There's ways of communicating all around us that go through like the wireless that we know. That's nothing compared to what's going on between the trees around us and between the blackberries and the trees and the blackberries and the bear and the calling of the scents. Because the blackberry knows that if it gets in a bear's stomach, it can reproduce somewhere else. So all this wireless is going on around us, and that stone, the eon, is a way to connect to that. So we go in, we close the lodge down, we sit in there with our clothes on.
Yeah.
A light shirt and a pair of shorts, women in sundress, and we respectfully sing songs and quietly leave our worries there with the eon, with the stone people. And we say our prayers upward to the Great Spirit. And we put the water, the air, the fire, and the earth together when we pour water in the sweat lodge. Because they all come together there when that stone comes in. And there's four parts to that, but the sum that we get out of it is greater than the four. Just like when that first cell is born out of nowhere, out of the Bose-Higgins, what they just discovered, right? Science? Just discovered that there is a particle that is not a particle when you're not looking at it.
What
and
do you
that
mean?
Is what a human being is prior to conception.
Hmm.
And conception is when the sperm, the egg, and that first cell come together in consciousness. And I'm, that's just my own opinion, but I've learned all this from the way we pray. And I've been waiting years for science to catch up with Bose Higgins, because it's even Jesus even says in the Bible how the world is created through our thoughts. And
thoughts are very powerful.
Proven again, yes, science is catching up, and that is the big secret that has kept us from our true blossoming as human beings. If people would realize how powerful the Creator made us. The Creator made us into Creator. We can create with our mind. And science is proving it right now.
Yeah, and you use divine intelligence, which is in us, that we lose because for some reason after we start breathing, our vibratory imprint or something changes from what we knew before, and we have to learn it all over again until we get simplified enough to the point. We are
there's
vibrating.
A veil there for sure, and I guess that's what makes it all exciting. Is we think we're individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're just a crest. When our lives peak, we're just cresting on the wave. But we all fly back into the same ocean.
Yeah.
Just to rise again with a different face, different crest.
Yeah. Well, when you create your radio shows. Since you are a radio producer yourself, do you keep a lot of this in the back of your mind when you research? Are you switching to...
Absolutely. Right now, I'm really trying to balance bringing out kind of, the teachings that have always been here through Alan Watts and, anything that I can find. Online that's really good, and I try to balance that out with these stories, these realities, this other reality show that's going on called Methane, called Arctic Ice Melt, called Chemtrails, called Extinction Rate. All these things are in Fukushima. These are all, I try to keep those things right there regularly in my show, updates on it, because we're accelerating. We're not handing this to the next generation. This one's kicking up, too. We're here. It's 2012, so I don't see my show as being truly necessary down the road, but I see it being extremely necessary now, just for my own sanity and for my community. Hopefully that community extends down into Santa Cruz, and people are listening and hearing the warning, but there's also a lot of joy here because, that's really what we're doing here. We are the temple of the Creator, and a big responsibility to that is being joyful. And that's the only way to get through what's coming.
Yeah, to be strong, but be willing to immerse yourself in what's coming so it can go right through you. But also, if you're with several thousand people, like in a city, what would you advise, besides what you just were saying, everybody getting together, if you do have to suddenly confront your neighbors and that you may have many of, what would be the most logical and survival thing to do first?
Well, if people haven't already sat down and talked with the neighbors about this, and it's like the first time you're going to be discussing it is while it's happening, you're so deep in it there in the city that you might as well go for broke and just come at everybody with open arms, without weapons, and go for it. And see if you can make that fire catch. Because personally, I don't believe that people in the city stand much of a chance. And so my recommendation is to leave. Leave now, in the next few months, next few weeks. But
that is a plan that you got to take seriously, yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise, it's time to go for it. And that's really, you know, I can dance around it all I want, but the reality of why we are here is to blossom into the human that we're supposed to be. And this is like last call. That's what this is, this thing happening on the earth right now. It's last call. For, you know, it's like it's got to change now, or we're looking at an unstable environment for our species, which could lead easily to extinction, easily. We'd just be following everybody going ahead of us. And some species, like the aquatic species, are 877 times faster than the fastest extinction rate that ever happened on the planet.
Oh, yeah, that's where it... So as above, as below, I mean, there's already... The ocean's what percentage dead right now?
Well, I don't know. There's over 400 dead zones. And... you know, these are just numbers that are adding up. They're really depressing. And,
yeah.
You know, but the bottom line is we can't do a whole lot except shine under this, the mass of this. And if people don't get out, that's all you're going to have left. You're going to, because you're not going to get out with guns. There's always going to be somebody with a bigger and badder one. It's going to be love that ties it together, and we're going to have to be, might as well start right there, because your government has let you down, folks. Law enforcement has let you down. Your politicians have let you down. Your corporations have let you down. And you owe no allegiance to a flag. You owe no allegiance to Washington, certainly. But you do owe allegiance to the ancestors who at least left this place so nice that we were, you know, we were able to hang in here this long. And it's an indigenous way of life that we truly need and should be seeking. And it starts right now. And, you know, my own words sound horrible to me, but it's time to get out of the city.
You know, I heard a person, a health ranger named Mike Adams, say that he has to ponder seriously whether the human is somewhere in the back of... He said he's not sure if women do, but the men, do they have some kind of, in the back of their mind, a desire to be extinct? Or are they going to be just led like lemmings? You know, the reaction when, for example, the shooting, there's countless shootings every day now. The one that happened in Colorado where the people are in the theater and no one tried to tackle the gunman, and they let him just shoot down all these children, for example. I mean, that's just one thing. It's almost like they have no concept that what's happening as it happens.
Well, we know that they're being attacked by GMOs, by electromagnetic frequencies. They're being attacked by what's on TV. They're being attacked by what they're told is important in their lives. They're being attacked by their desire for banking. I believe men fall prey easier to wandering in the dark. And but look at the children. Look at the children. They can be taught anything. They can be taught how to live sustainably.
Right.
They can be taught that they can be taught to love. You know, people who destroyed the earth in the old way, in the old days, they weren't allowed to hang out. They were banished or hit on the head. And a lot of times with love. You know, we love you, but you're going to destroy our village.
Right.
By the things you do. And, you know, any man who cut down every tree in the forest would have been hunted down.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, there was this need to keep everyone alive. There was survival instincts that were in place in communities, in villages, everywhere. It was just a way of life to live. To understand what life is, or not even understand it, just have the concept of the consciousness that we're born with, that living is important. But there's just this lack and denial that what's happening is happening, and it's like you say, harder because everyone is relying on what's in their hand, their mobile devices, or what they're being just taught through the media. We are the
by
media.
By design. I mean, this is a pyramid scheme that we're in, and at the very top, it's being controlled.
And are they out of control? Of course.
Well, yeah, and they're unsustainable. But I have no doubt that they love their money to the extent they would define it as a religion.
Right.
They breathe it. They think about it. They want more of it. They use it. They manipulate with it. And, you know, they really, they have the kind of admonishments that one would expect to see for Jesus, for instance.
It's a more of a desire for death than for life. Would you say that?
Through the ignorant concept that they're alive and they're individual from us. It's a very selfish way of living. Extremely selfish. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people can look at children starving and sell guns to both sides. I don't get it. It's another human being. It's the one that we're shedding. It's the skin of the snake that we're going to leave behind this time.
And in your community, which is far less populated than the one I'm speaking from, are the people all getting together and are aware on the same level as such as your family and your near relatives to where you are?
We are now a significant percentage of the community. The rest of the community, for the most part, is self-sufficient in other ways because they're cattle people and farmers and stuff like that. The long-term heirloom seed banking and stuff like that, we really promoted, you know, a lot of people were doing it, but we brought it together. We brought Community Watch together. We stand up and fight against timber and power line projects. We fought together. So all sides have come together to fight for the environment here. And that was the key. And we know we can work together. So we all know that about each other. And people have thanked me that I didn't even know for some of my work against the power line project. And, so I'd say we have a good fighting chance, and now, you know, we've produced seed at different places for our entire community and then some. We have enough seed, like kale and chard seed, we have probably enough for 100,000 people.
Now, would you tell more about the power line project that you worked on?
Well, that was the tank project that was crossing the state, And they're all under investigation, a lot of them now, because of the or the grand jury for the things they were doing back then. And you know, we were pointing at other things they were doing, which was wrong. And we were able to basically shame them because their facts were wrong and they were making stuff up, including that they were even going to have power plants out here. They're like, let's build transmission lines and then power plants will come. Well, yeah, build it and they'll come. That's a great way of doing it. Eminent domain. And it was 25,000 landowners. So when you got 25,000 people that are willing to be organized, which is what we had, it was a slam dunk. And I'm just glad that it's coming around now where the law's looking at these guys. And hopefully put some of this to rest.
Now, what law are you referring to?
Well, the grand jury is looking at some of the people in Tank, and I'm sure it just probably has to do with where money went and corruption that way. But the whole thing to us was a big TARP spend. It was literally a bridge in the middle of nowhere.
Huh.
And we were able to throw DOE maps at them and say, hey, look, you know, you guys say you're going to do this, this, and here, but it says solar energy belongs over here and wind energy belongs over here, according to the Department of Energy, and you guys are just building here where you own property and, you know, where you can manipulate the lines. But like I said, 25,000 landowners who were going to have high voltage lines over their head were very easy to organize. And so will the world be as things get worse.
Where you're living is in Northern California,
right,
a rural area, and you want to say the county you're living in?
No. No. Radio Panther.
Well, it's just great that you have 25,000 people.
Well, that was all the way to Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was 650 miles. And it was amazing because we had one model community, which was ours. We were the first ones to stand up against it. And then one by one, the communities were modeling what we were doing, which was having community meetings, going to supervisors, having unified statements. And we stood together with people all down that 650-mile line.
All right.
Which is what we should be doing every day against the way the state is running the environment. And the way the feds are running the environment, they're allowing timber now in to do thinning projects on national forest land and public land. Thinning projects of trees that are 30 inches in diameter. When do you thin a 30-inch tree? Think about that, everybody. 2 feet plus some. 2.5 feet. And they're calling in a thinning project. It's never been done. Loggers have never seen anything like this. It's amazing. And now this article has come out that shows that logging has increased in some counties like 40%. And all I hear all year long is, oh, how you environmentalists are hurting the logging industry. Bullshit, folks. Hmm. There's the numbers right there. They make that statement when we're standing in court and when they're talking PR. But at the end of the day, the fat millionaires are going home with it 40% more. And your trees are going, and you're getting herbicided if you live anywhere near the Sierra.
Yeah.
They're all criminal.
We would have, everyone on the planet would have to plant one old growth tree for us to have enough to survive. I mean, it's not just, planting trees is great, too. But the less trees we have, the less we have on the planet to survive with.
And the repercussions of what we have right now, if you take a snapshot of the world, all the deforestation, everything going on right now, take a snapshot, the repercussions of that won't even be here for years.
Uh-huh.
We're in big, big trouble if we remain with this mindset that a government leads us and corporations are people. And poverty exists. That this concept of poverty is ridiculous.
How so?
With the resources we have in the United States, why would anybody be impoverished? go out. If you don't have anything, go in the forest and take it. But do it with dignity, and make it work. Make it be sustainable. Just squat it at this point, folks, because deeds and contracts and all that, it's coming to a close. It didn't work before the white man came, and it ain't going to work after he's done with this place. And I'm using the white man not in a racist way. I'm using it as the dominant culture that came in here and wiped out the indigenous intelligence that was making it work. Their trading systems, bartering, food, storage, love, romance, heart, children, playing, laughing. They were humans, folks. Indigenous is alive and well. It has survived. It is not a victim. And that's where we're headed. We're headed back to it. We're all Native. And if we wake up to that now, screw the government, we'll be okay. But if we follow them down this hellhole right to the end, all they're going to do is declare martial law, and you guys in the city are done. And that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. I hear that loud and clear. I mean, enough people like yourself have to be there. And we are individuals, but we can relate to each other as the whole. I mean, we all have the same needs. We are all indigenous, as you say, if we just remember it.
And, you know, I'm happy to give people. When you come to me, I'm happy to give you seed.
Right.
And tell you what I know. You don't have to take it from me.
So I would like to let people know that they can listen to your shows, too. And you also have this other site, the Eco Occupy site. Is that...
I don't keep that going because that was kind of... That was a term thing for Earth Day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I would go to everybody watch what's going on with chemtrails. Geoengineeringwatch.org. And Mike Murphy's new film is out, and he'll be here. Every day is activism. And every day we're fighting for the planet. Every day we're getting ready for what's coming. It's a joyous way to live. I certainly don't. I see the beauty in everything that's leaving. I tend not to dwell on the destruction as much, just to get the word out. Other than that, I like smelling the roses.
Yeah.
And praying. Wow. And they just blew the horn, so I got to go. They blew the conch shell. And I know that I'm not going to understand this man too well. I'm hoping there's a translator.
Oh. Well, it's beyond understanding. It's just acceptance of who we are and what we need to be doing. So that means you're going to be leaving us right now.
Yeah, can I split? I know I wanted to stay longer, but technical stuff. So
great. We'll stay in touch, and we will. Continue this fight on. Enjoy.
Santa Cruz, inhale, take a deep breath, look deep inside, find out everything you need to know to take the next step and take it. Don't sit on it, people. Whatever it is you're going to do it next, now. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, good night. Thank you. Great. Okay. There you have it, everyone. And if anyone would like to call, the line is open. We weren't able to use the line, I thought, so it's now available. And this has been a talk with Mauro, who is an extreme activist in Northern California, and a musician and a farmer. And as he says, he's prepared for what's happening on the planet, and as we all should be. So a little bit more music.
The spirit man did blanket me like day. The hand of God is coming here, reaching out into the fire to pull some muscle now. One love.
This has been the Tangerine Dream Team show here live in Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM.